Second Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I'd like for us to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love, and giving us another day that we might live and serve you. Thankful for this church, for years ago, in your providence, and according to your purpose, planting this church here, and Lord, bringing it into existence and watching over it through the years. We're thankful, Lord, that our love for you, for the Word of God, the love that you have given them for us, and the love that you've placed in our hearts for them. Lord, we're so thankful for the truth. And we pray that we might be faithful in these last days to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Lord, we are concerned about those this morning that are not saved. And we pray, Lord, that if it would please you this morning, that you would open the heart of some man, some woman, some boy or girl, enabling them to repent of their sins and to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then, Father, for each of us that are saved and members of this church, we pray that You would edify us, build us up in the faith, and that we would leave here today with the confidence and assurance of knowing, Lord, that You're on the throne and that You're in control. We pray especially for the elderly, but we also pray for the young. We pray, Lord, today for those that are sick, those that are upon the bed of affliction, many things, Lord, that's wrong with them in various ways. We pray according to Your will that You might bring healing. I want to thank You for blessing my wife and being so good to her. And I pray, Father, that You would lead us and guide us and help us that we might put our trust in You. Now, I pray that You would forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. My text verse is verse 7. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In other words, Paul, I believe, is wanting Timothy to consider what he had said. I believe that we need today to hear God's Word, but I believe that we also need to consider God's Word. I believe that not only should we hear and consider God's Word, I believe that we ought to hear God's Word and heed God's Word. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy about the ministry. No doubt about that. When you read, and what he's saying here second chapter of 2 Timothy, he is talking about him preaching the Word of God and, of course, about the ministry. But I believe there is a biblical principle also that is involved that not only includes the ministry, but includes every born-again believer. And I would this morning, as I studied this and read and thought about this, there are two things that I want to talk to you about, I want to preach to you about this morning. And the first one is, number one, consider what I say. And the second point is, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, I believe that the Word of God must be preached. I believe that it must be proclaimed. And I believe that after that the Word of God is preached and the Word of God is proclaimed, then I believe that you ought to consider what has been said. And even though that you consider what has been said, it will be of some value, but it will not be of tremendous value unto you unless the Lord gives you understanding in what has been said. I'm like, I believe, any other preacher or any other pastor that pastors a church. Sometimes you wonder why people don't heed what you preach. And you wonder sometimes why it don't take. And if you major on that, it'll get you down. What we've got to remember is that it is not my responsibility as to whether or not you do or practice what the Word of God says. But it is my responsibility and the responsibility of every pastor that loves his people is to preach to them the things that they need to hear and the things that the Lord wants them to hear. And then, like everything else, we're just dependent on the Lord. As to whether or not they understand it, and whether or not then they begin to put it into practice in their life. I know that one of the things that I've spoken of, and I know that these are the last days, and I don't find a lot of comfort in this, and I know that the love of many shall wax cold. I don't find no comfort in that. I don't find any comfort in God's people, their love for the Lord and the things of the Lord waxing cold. I don't find no comfort in that. I don't find no comfort in it when I see it in my own life. And I believe that it seems to me that there is many times, and it's prevalent in our church, and that is the leaven of unfaithfulness. Now, Paul is saying to Timothy here, and first of all, he's saying, consider what I say. Now, what did he say to him? The first thing that he said, when he started out in verse 1, he said, thou therefore my son, and I could say, thou therefore my children. Even as Paul said, thou son, I could say, my children. And what he said to him, he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Brethren, today is the day when men's hearts are failing thee. Today is the day when people are despondent and when people are giving up. But I believe that what we need to do is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what happened in Paul's life? Why, when you read in the letters to the Corinthian church, and especially that second letter, and there in the 12th chapter, and what took place, and God brought in the Apostle Paul's life, and then he said to him, he said, my grace is sufficient unto thee. You cannot rely or depend upon the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. You cannot depend upon your own feeling. But you have to be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Paul not only mentions this to be strong and tells Timothy to be strong. And if there's ever a day that God's people need to be strong, it needs to be today. We're seemingly faced with things similar to the days of Paul. When he wrote to the church at Ephesus, I'm always reminded of this in the 6th chapter, and when he was talking about the relationship of the family and husband and wife and children, and then he's talking about how that you ought to be the kind of servant and ought to be the kind of master that you ought to be and the kind of servant that you ought to be. And then when he says all of this to them, in that 6th chapter, he says in the 10th verse, finally, my brethren, and when he says here in that 10th verse, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I'll tell you, I'm not strong in myself. And you're not strong in yourself. And if I rely upon myself and depend upon myself, then's when I really realize and see how weak that I really am. And that I'm not sufficient for what I'm faced with in life, or for what you're faced with in life, and especially in the Lord's work, that we're not sufficient within ourselves. But our strength is in the Lord. And our strength is in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is He that gives us the grace sufficient for every need, for every trial, and for everything that comes in our life. And so he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and notice, and in the power of His might. I don't have any might, I don't have any power myself. And so this is what he is saying. Consider what I say. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what he would have us to do this morning. But then he also goes on and he says something else to him in verse 2. And the idea here is, and he said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and here's what he says to him. He says, the same commit. Pass it along. Pass it along. I'll tell you, it's contagious when you're strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's contagious. I realize this, and I know this, and when you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, when you're that way, I notice it. And I see it. When it's in your life, I see it. And when you're not, I notice that. And I believe that's true from you to me, and that's true from me to you. But then, not only are we strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, but there are some things that we need to commit. He said, the same, that is the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same. Not something different, but the same. That is, I believe the doctrines that He taught, the things that He preached, and I believe the way that He lived. He said, commit thou to faithful me. And so, now Paul is saying, consider what I say. Don't run out here and try to do the Lord's work with a group of unfaithful people. But the Lord's work is done with people that are faithful. We are going to, the Lord willing, rework our Sunday school. And the thing that is of necessity to be a Sunday school teacher in this church is to be faithful. You cannot be a Sunday school teacher in this church and not be faithful. Now you say, what do you mean by faithful? Well, I'm going to get into that. I'm not there yet. But it says, and you know and I know, like I said, when you're strong in the Lord, it's contagious. And what I mean by that is, people see it. And I believe that in serving the Lord, people ought to see us serve the Lord. It ought not to be just something that we say with our lips, but it ought to be something that we manifest with our lives. And so he said, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I have said this, and it just needs to be said again. Faithful men not only teach by example, not only by word, but they teach by example. See, if you're a faithful member of this church, you might say something and it'll be heard. Now, I don't mean with the ears, but it'll be taken as meaning something. But you be an unfaithful member of this church and you may say something and it won't be heard. Nobody will pay any attention to you. Why? Because people expect and the Lord expects that when we teach, or we teach not only by word, but we teach by example. That is, with our lives. So he said here in this, not only consider what I say to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, but the same commit thou to faithful men, and he says, who shall be able to teach others also. So what he's saying to Timothy, if you're not faithful, you'll not be able to teach. And you'll not be able to preach. This is sort of an old adage that's been said, you know, through the years. Some have said, well, don't do as I do as I say. Now, you all know about how much weight that has, don't you? It don't have no weight at all. And then, if you've got somebody that's always trying to teach or saying something, and then their life don't back it up, and they're not the kind of example it ought to be, then people will say, well, who do they think they are? And rightfully so. It ought to be said. And that ought to be said. And so, he says unto him, consider what I say. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. And then commit the doctrines I have preached to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I said yesterday, preaching in the conference over there at North Side, it's always a joy to preach the Word of God, and it's always to get with somebody and them ask you a question, and you know, to be able to tell them what you believe and what the Bible says on this subject, and it sort of causes you to rejoice in your heart and to really say, well, I thought you'd never ask. With the idea of teaching and preaching. But then, that's not all that he said to consider. But he said in verse 3, endure hardness. Now, being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and committing to faithful men that they may be able to teach others, you've got to endure some hardness. There are some things that are going to come in your life that are going to try to get you sidetracked and to get you out of serving the Lord and away from the Lord. And so there's some things that you have to endure hardness. And he uses three examples. He expresses it in figurative terms. He uses a soldier. He uses a runner. And he uses a husband. He uses these three figurative terms, and he says here in this, endure hardness, and he says, as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Are y'all following with me? He says, as a good soldier. See, there's soldiers and there's good soldiers. We find that today. There are soldiers and good soldiers. And so it is in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now what will cause you not to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Get yourself entangled. And it's easy to do this. And he says here, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When you soldier, you got a soldier. You can't soldier in something else, is what he's talking about here. You've got to be right on the firing line. You've got to be in action, and you've got to be right on duty. He says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And then he uses the husband. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Now I believe that he told him to consider to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and how to commit the doctrines or the truths that I have preached or given to you unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others, and also to endure hardness. Now I would this morning that you would consider what I say. The Lord requires faithfulness. Now faithfulness is more, it is, but it is more than just attending church. Now, it is that. It is that. And that is the least that we can do. Is in attending church. We have Sunday morning services, Sunday night services, and Wednesday night services, and sometimes we have special services. And I believe there is a necessity and there is a need to be faithful to the Lord's church. And what I mean to that, there's more ways than one, but first of all, by attending. Now, I say this not just because that I'm a preacher, but because I'm a member. I am a preacher, but not just because of that, and because I'm a member of this church. The Lord's church is the most important part of my life. And when I say the Lord's church, I mean this church, not some other church. This church. The reason it is because this is where the Lord has added me, or where the Lord has placed me, that I might faithfully serve Him for His honor and for His glory and for His praise. Sometimes people say, well, I can serve the Lord just as good as you can and not be in church. No, you can't. And the reason you can't is because of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. And there in verse 21. He said, now I do other things in the work of the Lord when we're not assembled as a church. But he said, unto him be glory in the church. And it's by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And one of the ways of being faithful, unless providentially hindered, is attending the services of the church that the Lord has added me to. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 10 and there in verse 25. Now, we are a church this morning, and the reason we're a church is because we're assembled. We are meeting in this building, which we call a church building. But when we dismiss, the church is going to leave, the building is going to remain. But the church is going to go their various ways to the home. And what he says here in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thank God for the teaching of faithfully assembling in the Lord's church. One of the most enjoyable times of my life is to be in the Lord's house. If you could go next door and ask that lady over there this morning where she would like to be. I'm going to tell you where it would be. It'd be here. And not just saying that because my wife, but because she loves this church. She loves the place where the Lord has placed her to serve the Lord. And it ought to never be that we hate to come to church. Too long have we let this idea prevail. Oh, I've got to go to church. No, you don't got to do nothing. But you ought to say, this is the Lord's day and the time for us to go and to assemble as a church to meet with the Lord and to meet with the saints of God and to be edified and built up in the faith by the teaching of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word and by singing and praying. Consider what I say. The greatest testimony that any person can have is to be faithful to the church the Lord has added them to. Here's how simple it is. You can be saved by the grace of God, live a good Christian life, be a good example. And if you're unfaithful to this church, you'll not be the kind of testimony that you ought to be. You'll not be the kind of witness that you ought to be. Now, I know there's more than this. This is part of, there's more than this in being faithful. I know this. Only those that the Holy Spirit, I believe, teach the truth of the Lord's church will be faithful. I mean, what really is a church and the importance of the Lord's church in your life and in my life. We must be taught by the Holy Spirit and know what that truth is. Too many today, in word, give assent to a local church, but in practice universal invisible. Which is an error. Because all that we have in the New Testament, in the Word of God, is the large local assembly that meet together in certain places and God's people come together. Where have we lost our joy in coming to the Lord's house and being with God's people? I remember in years gone by that I was always eager
And always with anticipation, waiting to come together with the saints of God, where God had brought us together to hear from heaven and to see the blessings of the Lord and to feel the sweet spirit that comes among God's people that are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Where have we lost that?
You can preach today about the Lord's church and people, I won't even look at you. So despondent. I tell you, the Lord is so good to us. Blesses us in so many ways, and we treat Him anyway. So, I believe that not only is this included in being faithful, but I believe that we must be faithful to give. And there's more in this being faithful to give than just giving your money. There is the tithes and offerings that the Bible talks about that I preached on last Sunday. But I believe that we must be faithful to give time. Time spent in preparation. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, how many hours of the week do you spend preparing for it? How much time do you spend in preparation to come to the Lord's house? How much do you think about it before it gets time? Time spent in preparation, I believe, by prayer and study. Then there's time going to and forth. You ought to allow enough time to be on time. Tell you what, for the one, and I've done this, for the ones of you at punch a clock, you're there, aren't you? We never could. We couldn't punch in. They had it set up for us when I punched the clock for all those years. You couldn't be more than 15 minutes early. We went to work like, if we went to work at 7, you could only punch that clock between 6:45 and 7. You couldn't punch it before because they would not pay you for any time before that. And if you punched it 1 minute after 7, you were docked 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And that was the, and you talking about getting all those employees that worked there to punch the clock in 15 minutes. There was more than one clock now. But we're talking about 1,000, 1,200 employees to punch the clock. And I tell you what, some did it joyfully. And some did it grudgingly. But we did it. And I think if we were so set, and I was, I tell you, we'd get up at 5, we'd leave Richmond at 5:30 to be at work at 7. And driving. And I mean, we knew exactly what time we needed. If we had a flat tire, we knew exactly how much time we needed to take care of that flat tire to get us there by 7. And we were zealous in that. A whole carpool of us. And I thought, oh, that God's people would be zealous with the house of the Lord and getting to the house of the Lord, being eager to be in the house of the Lord and to be there and to be counted. Time going to and fro, and then time in the services. But I believe that we're not only to be faithful in giving the time, but to giving the talent. I'm thankful that some are stepping forth. Maybe that's been my fault. But I'm glad that some are stepping forth and taking a hope and saying, I'll be glad to do this, and I'll be glad to do that. And I believe that's what it's all about. And that's a real joy in serving the Lord. There is a talent of preaching and teaching and praying and singing. There is a talent of doing the things in the Lord's work that would have to be done. But then I believe that these ought to be faithful in tithes and offerings. A tithe is the tenth. An offering is above the tithe. I preached that last Sunday. Don't need me going into that extensively again. And so we find that the tithes and offerings belong to the Lord's church that you are a member of. And some are faithful and some are unfaithful in this. But now,
This is what Paul is saying here. Consider what I say. And I would this morning that you would consider what I say. But then the second thing is this. And the Lord give the understanding in all things. You know, if you do it because of men, it won't last. But if you do it because of the Lord, and because you love the Lord, it'll last. And I believe that what we do and how we do it, we ought to do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Too many times we do it to please men, and many times men do it to be seen of men. But we ought to be doing it for the Lord and to please the Lord, and because that the Lord has saved us and the Lord has blessed us. Now, and the Lord, the second point is the Lord give the understanding in all things. Now, in the above things, or the things that have been mentioned. You know, the Lord has to give you understanding to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because you won't naturally do that. You'll do like I do. You'll try it yourself. Do all you can yourself. And not rely and depend upon the sufficient grace of God. And then you'll not commit the way you ought to, and you'll not endure hardness the way you ought to. But I believe that He meant in all the above things and in all other things. The Lord has to give us understanding. The doctrines and mysteries of grace in all the rules and conduct in life. We do not have this gift. It is a gift from God. Without Him, here's the condition we're in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 14, if you want to look at this. Without Him, we're in this condition. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now look at this. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. See, they're not only foolishness unto him, but neither can he know them. Now, what I've asked you to consider of yourself, you can't know these truths. But I pray this morning the Lord will give the understanding. And what it does, I have noticed through the years, I've noticed this thing through the years. It's like people, and I'll use this just as an illustration. There's a lot of truths, but let's use the illustration of the truth of church discipline. You can believe church discipline and not have it in your heart. And how that church discipline works that way, as long as it's somebody else other than your family, it's all right. But then if it's not in your heart when it comes to your family, then it's all wrong. I was amazed. I talked to the guy at Green Ridge, and he said they're practicing church discipline. Starting at Christian Day School over there, you know. He said they're practicing church discipline. I said, what? A Southern Baptist church practicing church discipline? I never heard of such a thing. And I don't get off on that. There's a lot of other things that we talked about in that. But I'm talking about unless the Lord gives the understanding. And I believe this is necessary because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish of him, neither can he know them, and because they are spiritually discerned. And that's where the Lord has to
enable us to understand what has been said.
And to bring it to our hearts. It's a biblical principle. It's like this. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
It is a biblical principle. Read in the 14th chapter of John, the 15th chapter of John, and you'll see that it is the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and directs and brings truths to our hearts.
And it is not only do we have it deposited up here, but we have it in our hearts, and we manifest it and practice it in our lives. So, this is a gift from God. And so, really, there's a lot more to be said about this. But basically, what I want you to do is to consider what I say. Consider. Consider what I've said. And then, and I pray that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I believe, and the emphasis here, by putting him upon the consideration of these things, he suggests that they are matters of importance. And they are matters of importance, not only to Timothy, but to us. They should be of great use in assisting and encouraging our faith. They might not at first view be so easy understood. But he would have them to think on these things.
He would have them to meditate on them. He would have them to weigh them in his mind, examine them whether they're right.
And I believe that's what we need today, the time in which we live. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Commit thou to faithful men and endure hardness. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We're near to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're closer home today than we were yesterday. The victory is in Christ Jesus. Thanks God. Thank God for the victory. Therefore, my brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And God has been so good to us and blessed us in such a tremendous way. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a member of this church. I'm thankful to be a part of this work that God has here in this place. I'm thankful that you are. And I would that you'd consider what I say, and I'd ask that the Lord give thee understanding. Take these truths and bring them to your heart. These are great days in which to live. Hard on the flesh, but the victory is in Jesus Christ. And we have Jesus Christ. We will overcome because He has overcome. And how thankful that I am. If you're here this morning and not saved, you need a Savior. And the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He went to Calvary. And He died there for the sins of those that would believe on Him. And He died at Calvary. He was taken and buried. He arose again the third day. He ascended. He's to the right hand of the Father. And He's coming. He's coming again. So if you're not saved, then we invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.